2-3-1.
Who's the best show here?
Back Show!
Who's the best show here?
Back Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Maybe you should quit acting like a bitch.
Big O! Showtime!
Were you making it cool young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a lick it bad. But the show link go back to DLNGS.org. And I see channels at linuxday.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 966 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
How's it going?
And we have Joel.
Good evening.
Yeah. And maybe Joe will show up. Who knows? But
who knows?
Hey, how about this? How about a little bit of karma here? This is great. We had a catastrophe at work today that a script that somebody who's no longer with the company had written and didn't clearly document it and also had some like weird things going on ended up, instead of deleting files, they're called fronts, but instead of deleting fronts, which store the information and determine the layout of pages and what's on the pages, instead of deleting a certain group of fronts, it went and deleted all the fronts. And so it broke like everything. And
not good.
It was not good. And so they're like, how do we get this back? And they contact me and they're like, hey, we might have to, you know, retrieve this from the Couchbase backups. And I'm like, okay, but you do realize this is probably going to take like a day or two to do that. Because what has to be done is I have to build a new cluster and restore the backup to the new cluster. And taking a full backup is usually a day process because the amount of data that's in there and it has to be transferred over. And to restore it is probably going to take roughly the same amount of time. That, let alone, and then we have to. And so what I realized then as I was beginning to set up the cluster is that when I went to look, the backup had stopped working like a couple weeks ago. So it was a little outdated, but luckily we had backups and the information. Like these things aren't things that change on a regular basis. Like there's maybe one or two out of how many did I process? Like 3,000 plus that had changed, which I lucked out on that, which was, you know, the lesson again learned, which I have two problems. I usually check on this thing like at least once a month and it's been running fine for so long. And we have a monitoring system set up on it, but it goes to two places. One is a kind of a noisy channel and the second one is to my email. And I've gotten out of the habit of checking my email because nobody ever uses email at work anymore. Right. And so I should have been, and I would have noticed that a little better. So if you have the monitoring set up and you're not paying attention to it, it doesn't do you any good. Secondly, I even was in my head. I'm like, look, I got to go. A couple days ago, I was like, I got to make sure I double check these backups, make sure everything's going fine. And now I was able to restore it. So karma was saying to me, hey, you gotta be on top of that stuff and you gotta pay attention when you think you need to check that backup, you better be checking that backup. Don't put it off, right? Cause you almost got yourself in a lot of trouble. I got a lot of people in trouble, not being able to restore that. But what was even better, was that we had worked out a process for extracting data from the Couchbase archive, backup archive, about a year ago when we were preparing for the inevitable retirement of the current system, which has Couchbase at the heart, for the new system. So I didn't have to restore the backup to a cluster. I just was able to extract what we needed from there, writing a script to be able to extract like the manifest file, the process that, to be able to pull out all the other documents that would need to be associated with that. And then I sent it over, the archive over to another person who was able to process that and get the fronts back. So we were able to recover like over 95% of what needed to be recovered. There's still some stuff we're trying to flush out that's missing. Not because it's missing from the archive, but because we didn't really have a good, like a complete source of what it was that we needed to retrieve, like what were the IDs and everything. We still have a few that might be missing, but when I finished up, we all finished up around 8:15 this evening. Things were looking really good. Everybody was happy. We were back on board. So couple of things there. Always document your scripts, you know, make sure that if you're sanitizing everything and caution, if you're running a script, make sure that you understand what it does. And always, if you're doing, you know, you should be doing backups, number one. Number two, make sure your backups are running properly, because if they're not, you might as well not even have backups.
Right.
You know, we lucked out on all that stuff. And, so good times. Now, Joel, yep. This has been on my mind for a week now, and I said to myself, this was a big issue last week, and you didn't even bring it up.
What?
If I recall correctly, you didn't bring it up. The whole thing that had to do with, what is it? BMW's, heated seats? So go ahead, because I had some stuff I wanted to say about that, and I'm sure you did.
Yeah, so basically what this boils down to, and they're not the only ones doing this, it seems like to be a trend, and one that's kind of being done worse by BMW, but a lot of cars now, when you buy them, they may not have all the features. Like, a good example is of one that's, I'm actually kind of okay with, is my car, both my cars have OnStar. Okay. And that will let you do remote things. If my son and my wife were somewhere else and they accidentally locked the keys in the car, my son could use his phone, or I can use my phone to unlock the car for them and other things like that. Okay. That's all stuff via the phone. I get that being an extra cost. But BMW has taken this a step further. And I don't know if it's in the United States. I don't think it is. It's mostly, I think, Europe and a couple other countries. They put all the hardware and all the interfaces that you need. They're in the car. You know, the equipment's in the car, but then they want you to pay a monthly charge in order to use the heated seats that are already installed in your car.
So absurd.
Yeah, it's kind of just like some of the other stuff with like John Deere and other companies making like equipment like cars or tractors and stuff like that. So,
eventually someone will learn how to hack the hardware.
I think it already has been.
Yeah.
I really do think the tuners have already figured it out, but on the other side,
direct power to the heating coils, and guess what? Your heated seats work.
Yeah, there you go. but it's just like now, some of them are, I guess some car companies are starting to look at that with the adaptive cruise, and I'm like, wait a minute. I don't have a problem paying extra for something like OnStar or whatever the, I don't know what Ford's is. I know they have one, and I know most car companies do now, like Nissan has one. That's why when I'm in a rental car, I can't always use some of the features.
No, I can understand paying like a subscription fee
for that stuff. You know, yes.
The automated driving. Like yeah. If that was actually available.
Maybe. Yeah.
And then, you know, it's got to be constantly updated. The code has right. to be kept up. You have to pay somebody to
correct.
Make sure that that works, you know, smoothly well, all the time.
Well, not to mention paying, the fact that, right. I was going to say, not to mention the fact, though, self-drive probably also relies on cloud services, too, when you think
right,
about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah, but so, I'm not paying a monthly service fee for adaptive cruise control when there are vehicles that have been doing that for the last 5 or 10 years without any assistance
right.
online.
Well, it's like now when you buy a car, you can't find a car that doesn't have, like, almost even the low models have power windows now. It's like, you know, well, what if they do something like that with power windows, which is, you know, it's just kind of dumb, you know.
Well, and, I mean, first, I don't think they could do it with power windows because that's
that'd be
a safety
issue. Yeah.
Right. The adaptive cruise control, the heated seats, there's a couple other things. Every one of those that I looked up on the BMW website from that article, you had the option of a monthly service fee or paying like, I think it was, I'm going to say somewhere between $9 and $19 a month for the heated seats, or you could pay like $499
right.
up front and it's unlocked forever. So that to me says, first off, I agree with you. I think that's absurd because like, we have heated seats in the Kia and we didn't pay, that came with the package, right? That came with the car. And it's not like there's extra hardware being put in there, right? It's already there. Mm-hmm. One. Two, I don't see the advantage. So if you're, let's say it's $10 a month, we're talking $120 a year. In 4 years, you would end up after like 4 years or so, you would probably end up paying more monthly than you would to pay for it outright.
Yep.
And you probably have like most people might have that car on a 5-year loan. So you're paying more.
Well, even further
than you would pay out front. Yeah. Right.
Think about this though. What happens when
you
could trade it in?
Right. You could. So that's another thing I was going to get to. I mean, technically you could say, well, I wouldn't use the heated seats 6 to 8 months out of the year. So, you know, I could save that money, but I don't really see how you're saving much money there over the long run of the car. And then, you know, when you go to sell it, you know, again to the next person, that's a feature that they you can't pass on to them. You know what I mean?
Correct.
They would have to, and so I think that's not a good selling point. I don't see what, other than the company making money hand over fist like that, I don't see what the advantage to the consumer is.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, exactly right. Not to mention the fact, like we already mentioned, I bet you people can just hack it and turn it on, and that's probably what'll happen. But
the only problem I have with that is if you hack it and turn it on, what happens when you have to take it into the shop, right?
Right.
If you take
right,
it into the dealership for their services, because that's they bundle all those services and come and get a free
say,
oil
well,
change and spec.
Well, you turned this on and hacked it, so you don't have a warranty anymore.
Right.
Yep. Well, there's a reason I don't own a BMW. That's not it right now, but there's a reason why, you know, it's like, see, do you want to buy, like, I watched this channel, Hoovy's Garage, and he just bought his wife a used, Bentley, Bentayga, which is a, four-wheel drive, Bentley. And I'm like, and and in the video, he had him driving off road with it, and I'm like, who does that with a Bentley? For one, but it's like, but if you really wanted a car to drive off road, would you buy the Bentley or would you buy a Chevy? I'd buy a Chevy every day.
Is he making bank on that YouTube channel or something that he could afford to do that?
He does. He does, actually, yeah. Well, and he owns, Freddy's Shakes and, Fries, or Freddy's, Burgers and I don't know, it's Freddy's. It's a burger joint, mostly in California, but he owns, several franchises out in, Kansas where he lives. But it's like, you know, that's, you know, there's various reasons. That's one of them. It's just silly to buy something like that and spend extra money on just because it looks good. You know, it's like, why would it, would I buy the Cadillac version of the Traverse or will I buy a Traverse? I'm going to buy a Traverse every day. You know, but, you know, it, but to back to the subject though, here's the other thing that concerns me about it. You know, we talked a lot, almost all of them right now, but what happens if something malfunctions in that heated seat that you don't pay monthly for? So now, and it's, say it's out of warranty. So that breaks and it breaks the circuit. So then something else doesn't work, you know, which can happen. Probably won't. I'm hoping they have everything fused on different circuits and stuff, but still it's like, what happens if there's a malfunction, that heated seat comes on and goes higher than normal and burns your car away? You know, it's like, you know, to me it's just dumb. And I hope that this doesn't become a trend, but I'm afraid it might, because let's think of something else in tech that became a trend that affected people that didn't buy that device, and that's when Apple took away the headphone jack. Now, is there currently a modern Android phone that has a headphone jack? None that I know of.
Mine does.
So, yeah, well, you just bought an old phone.
Pixel 4. Doesn't the Pixel 5A? No. Doesn't the Pixel 6 have one?
No. Nope. Neither did my old Galaxy Note 10. It didn't have one either. So, I mean, it's this kind of, and I know what the car companies really want, is they want what gaming companies on mobile devices have figured out. They want a continuous revenue stream. And I'm like, why don't you just, I don't know, put more money in your service department than trying that, then maybe you might have that. Cause that's my frustration of the week. The part is in for Luke's car. I think we're going to probably take it over tomorrow morning, but I scheduled it to go in at 9:15 today. And when Misty and Luke went to go drop it off, they're like, oh, that tech's going to be, only work until noon. So we'll need you to leave it overnight. I'm like, no, we'll just bring it in another day. I'm like, that's not what you said when we made the appointment on Monday. And I'm like, yeah, that there is, and I actually went to their website and I wrote them a really big long letter. I'm like, you know, I'm sympathetic with some of the problems that the auto industry is having. They're hugely affected by the chip shortage. They're hugely affected by the labor shortage. I'm tired of dealing with it. And if I don't buy another car, you know, unless, you know, if they say we're sorry, actually do an apology, maybe throw in like a gift card for shit they got in the dealership, you know, that I can buy keychains and shit, whatever, you know, something, you know, because of all the shit communications I've got, you know, then I would consider it. But I literally put them in my letters, you know, I spent, you know, one car is $50,000, the other is $30,000. So I spent $80,000 at your dealership between two different vehicles. And I would gladly come in and buy another one because the sales arm, I'm very happy with. But it'd be very questioning on whether I accept any extended warranties from you unless I have the ability to take it to another shop. But, you know, to get the work done and then be reimbursed. I don't care about, you know, like if I had to pay, unless it's stupid expensive, if I have to pay to have a repair done and then be reimbursed, I'm fine with that. But, you know, it's just service has gone to shit everywhere I go.
Now, I've had, like, the opposite experience with all the places I've had to take vehicles to in the past couple of days. Not my vehicle, just the kids, you know. Tire repair and window repair.
Well, that's the thing. It's like a shop like a Firestone or a mom and pop garage. They're going to be fine. It's when you got a brand new car, it's under warranty.
Even our Kia, which is still under, you know, some warranty, and we take it up there to, like, you know, bring it this day, and they're usually, we drop it off, and they're, like, usually by that afternoon or whatever, or if it's something they have to order, they're like, if they can't have it in by the next day, they'll either give us a loaning car, or they'll say, you know, just bring it back. You know, bring it back, and, hey, you know, we'll put it in.
I wanted to mention that there are a couple of Android phones that come with a 3.5 millimeter jack, and I think, what's that, the Red Magic and the OnePlus, or at least some of the OnePlus line does. I don't know if their flagship does.
Yeah, those are ones a lot of people would buy outright, and not necessarily, you know, they're not necessarily commonly available here in the States either. I mean, yeah, you can get them, and yeah, they will work, but, you know. But I'm talking about, like, if you go into Verizon today or T-Mobile today and look at any phone they have on the shelf, they probably don't have a headphone jack.
The OnePlus does.
Yeah.
The OnePlus Nord and 200.
Actually, yeah,
and the N20.
Yeah, that would be, so maybe jacks. You might have three phones in the whole place that has a jack. It's just ridiculous on that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. What do I know? It's only been a standard for, what, 70 years? Probably longer. I'm probably exaggerating, too. But still, it's just, it's like, you take a well-known standard and throw it out. Ridiculous. Same thing with BMW. Completely ridiculous. But Samsung had an event today, and I don't think anybody noticed.
Yep, I did not know. Because this is normally the time of year where they announce the Note line, but they're not going to.
Nope. Well, technically the S22 would be that.
Right, but it falls under the S line now, so they're not going to have another announcement for the Note, because they already had the Note announcement in, what, March, April?
Well, I forget when the S22 came out, but the Z Fold 4, Z Flip 4, Galaxy Watch 5, and new Buds, I think that's it. Nothing, and the thing is nothing was really unexpected. You know, that's the thing. You know. And I'm trying to think too, like, I know the Pixel Buds, the new version of the Pixel Buds Pro, those just came out, but they're $200. And I'm trying to think, other than maybe tapping one ear and getting the Google Assistant and tapping the other, I forget what the other one does, but, you know,
well, my wife was really impressed with the Z Fold 3. I'd love to see the Z Fold 4, but I don't want to see the price.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be expensive. So, but, and yeah, I guess for me, on either the Flip or the Fold, I have to see them in person and see if they finally fix the crease. I don't think they have. You know, it's hard for me to say right now until I see one in person whether I want one. But I'm still trying to figure out. Now, I get why Apple releases earbuds, Bluetooth earbuds, but I don't get why Samsung, why Google do the same thing. Yeah, you know, cause those are the top three phones. You know, Joe Normal person, who's not us, and who's not ultra cheap, will buy a Samsung, an iPhone, or a Google phone. Probably in that order. or switch the Samsung and the iPhone around. You know, my dad's not going to buy a One Touch. You know, he's not going to buy I can't think. What's that one weird one? Chinese name. Xiaomi. He's not going to buy a Xiaomi. He's going to buy a Samsung. Mostly because he doesn't like iPhones.
He's not going to buy a Red Magic gaming phone with a back.
Nope. You know, and these are the phones that everyone's going to look at from now until one of them dies. And right now, it doesn't look like any of them are going to die. If I had to pick one that would stop making phones, I would probably pick Google. But right now, I think they actually hit it out of the park with the Pixels. You know, a lot of people say that there was a lot of problems with the Pixel 6, but they're not really as bad. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think it was around the Pixel, what was it, the 2 range or the 4 range, where Everybody was saying the, you know, the original point of the Google phone, the Pixel, was lost because it was supposed to be a low-cost, high-end device.
Well, some people thought that, but yeah. Right. But, yeah, in other ways, too, Samsung beat Google to releasing the August updates. Although I think there's a real reason, because I think that there was a short, small update that fixed some stuff with the GPS, but it was still dated back in July for my Pixel 6 Pro. I have the Pixel 6 Pro, and Google said that the August update was delayed a few weeks. Now, it makes me wonder if they originally thought that they were going to have Android 13 ready for the August update for Pixel phones. Right now, the rumor has it is that the September update will be Android 13 for the Pixel phones. So we'll see. I'm trying to think of any hot feature in Android 13 that really impresses me. But other than just having the latest security updates and all that, it doesn't really look all that different to Android 12 to me. There might be something I missed, but like the Samsung's Galaxy Buds 2, Galaxy Buds 2 Pro, I think, or some weird name, or the Pixel Buds, which just came out for $200. It's like, you know, do I care for the additional features that they give me over my Jabra Elite 3s? Not really. Would I buy one?
Am I going to pay $200 for a pair of in-ears?
Right.
No.
Yeah. The answer would be no for majority of people. I might buy one just because I'm curious. You know.
Yeah, I'm not that curious.
Yeah. Most people
I'll
won't
wait
be.
Until, you know, somebody's selling them for dirt cheap and broken.
Yeah, most people won't be. I'm actually more interested in the Pixel, the watch. But we shall see. At least you can justify. At least that's not outpricing other smartwatches. So, for the most part. Unless you count things like the Wise Watch, which I'm still wearing. I'm kind of over it, you know. I wear it because I have it, and it lasts longer than my Wear OS based watch. That's about it right now.
Yeah, I'm still wearing the S3 Frontier.
Yep. And as much as I hate to say this, if an Apple, because some of the rumors of what Apple's working on for the Apple Watch have me thinking that if they actually bring it out and bring it out to fruition, would I buy it? And an iPhone, because I'd have to buy an iPhone too. Because I don't want to hook it up to my work iPhone. But one of the rumors has been is that they're looking at blood glucose monitoring, which means, yeah, I would buy an iPhone and an Apple Watch just to get that.
Yeah, that does seem like a good feature.
Right.
I wouldn't mind a phone that does like blood oxygen monitoring.
Yep.
Not just, you know, sleep blood oxygen monitoring, but actual blood oxygen monitoring throughout the day.
Yep. That's actually kind of my one criticism of my Wise Watch is it does that, but it only does that if you tell it to. It doesn't do it automatically. Which I'd rather have it automatically. Cause one thing I forgot to do Monday when I went in for my colonoscopy was I forgot to take my BiPAP with me. I said, well, I figured it's only going to be a few minutes, so I don't really care that much. But the nurse told me, next time make sure you bring your BiPAP. I'm like, okay. So, I'm still trying to figure out how would they give me the gas? Well, I guess they don't have to give me gas. I guess they just put me on oxygen because of that, but.
Yeah, and I think most of your CPAPs and BiPAPs have a hookup for oxygen if you need
it. They do. They do. And a lot of times it's in the mask. I don't think it's in my current mask. Well, it might be. I just haven't figured out where the holes were. Because a lot of them will have holes for the cannula. You know, a set of holes just like designed to fit the standard nose cannula, I think. So, or it's either there or it might be down on the machine. It's just going to depend on your setup. But I found a really cool weather radar program for pretty much every platform out there for Android. For iPhone, for Windows, for Mac, for Linux, and of course for the iPad. And that's called Radar Omega. And, in both cases, for any of the desktop things, you have to subscribe to either the Android or the iOS version. The kind of bad part is the app on both platforms, you do have to pay for the app. And there's a monthly subscription. The lowest is $5 a month. But the nice thing is it's available on Linux. I actually tried it today. It's in an app image. Kind of one thing I don't like about that is it doesn't just insert itself into the menus. So basically you can just store the app image on your desktop and it'll open it up that way. But the best part of it though is, when you, the free, you can, like, if you just outright buy the app itself and go with the free version, it will do, I'm trying to think how, it's like maybe 7 frames on the animation. If you pay the $5, which I did, it will allow you to do up to 75 frames in the radar animation. Beyond that, I have to look at their website to see what other features it adds for the subscription. But for me, it's worth the $5 because of how often I look at weather, especially this time of year.
Yeah, it actually rained today. It was kind of nice.
Woo!
It did. It's going to be humid as hell tomorrow.
Yeah, our humidity is supposed to break this week. And I think next week it's only supposed to be in the 70s. So, hopefully we're starting to cool down.
I'm sure next week we'll be back in the hundreds.
But one other feature that I found on Radar Omega that's not on any other radar app that I found, is it has a 3D, 3D, it, I had to kind of explain how this works. You press a 3D button and it, what it does is it kind of makes it look kind of 3D. On the screen, right? It's not really 3D. But the nice thing is it'll show like all the kind of graphically more easy to tell how high each storm top is. So, which is kind of nice because the taller the cloud, the worse the thunderstorm will be. But it's got hurricane tracking and all that stuff in it too as well, which is pretty nice. So if you like weather, looking at weather radar, or if you do any kind of weather spotting, it's definitely a great app. And that's my main ones for that I wanted to talk about this week.
Oh yeah.
So, Pat.
What's up?
You gonna go get a deer this year?
I don't know, maybe.
You doing black powder hunting this year?
Black powder.
I haven't gotten my license yet.
There you go.
The biggest problem is I can't find anybody to go with me.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing with me with anything nowadays. Like, end of September, there's a Columbus Coffee Fest near the fairgrounds downtown, and I paid for one ticket. And I asked Luke if he wanted to go. He's like, I'm like, okay, fine. I'll just go by myself. But that's a cool one, because like for the period of 3 hours, I get to sample coffee from different roasters all across the state. And about, I think
hopefully
most
they got enough toilets to handle the demand.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know what? Yeah, it is true that coffee makes you.
Absolutely.
Definitely number one, sometimes number two.
Works for me.
Number two usually didn't affect me until recently. I think it's getting old on that one. But the peeing definitely is a thing. Yeah. Still trying to figure out how they sold the tickets for that, because it's a 2-day thing. And not one ticket, even the most expensive tickets, would let you stay all day. So I think it's either a tactic to keep the crowds down, or a tactic to make sure nobody overdoses on caffeine. One of the two.
Why not both?
Man, could
both
be.
Both plausible.
Could be. But I get, it's kind of cool. They give you a mug and then you can sample. I guess it doesn't cost anything to get samples, so I guess I'll find out. But, and there's another booth there that they were taking like any of their leftover mugs from the previous years. They're taking and like putting plants in them, which I think is a good idea, you know, cause events like that, like if you ever go to Southeast Linux Fest again, almost every year, Jeremy will have a stack of t-shirts for every year that he's had. For the most part. Some of the early ones that you guys got probably are gone, but like if you remember the Matrix one, I actually bought another Matrix one while I was down there. Actually, I wouldn't say bought, because of who we are, he gave it to me. But, if you go to the show, they do that, but. And OLF was just announced. And since this show starting having people going, they actually have their third new location.
Where?
There is a brand new Hilton that's being built across the street from the convention center, and that's where it's at.
Oh. What, is it in December again?
It's in December. And right now the hotel is not done yet.
Uh-oh. Let's hope
it
is.
Hopefully it's done in time. But yeah, December 2nd and 3rd, and it's at the brand new tower of the Hilton Columbus Downtown Hotel. So I don't see, do I have a request for papers yet? Don't see a request for papers. So I might go down this year. Depends. I have to look at my calendar. See, second, I'm trying to think what the second is. I'm thinking it's probably Friday.
Yes.
Yep. I usually don't bother going on the Friday, because it's usually a lot of stuff I don't care about. It's usually a lot of like the LPI classes and stuff. I might, one of these years I might just go take the LPI test just for the heck of it. I probably know enough to do it. But yeah. And the Orville finished up last week.
For good?
For good?
That's a good question. I don't think we know if they have a season 4 yet. I don't know.
They kind of hinted that they might come back.
Yeah, well, technically as of today, I think it's today, yeah, the 10th, the whole series is on Disney Plus. It may be one of those that moved to Disney Plus, but it makes me wonder if, because Disney owns at least a part of Hulu as well. I think one thing that Seth got when he moved to Hulu was much more freedom. And the quality showed. You know, I think Hulu probably gave him the better deal than Fox did with regards to the effects, because the effects were just phenomenal this year. But we'll see. I would say the last episode, definitely not my favorite episode of the season, but it was still good.
It's tough to wrap up a series, you know?
It is. It is. The fandom is little nuts. You know, I'm in a couple of the Facebook groups for the Orville, and like they're like all hypothesizing things for season 4. And one of them I said, I'm glad fandom doesn't write the scripts for the show, because I would have freaked. Because some people come up with wacky ideas of some obscure character that was on the bridge once gets a full episode where it's focused on that person. It's like, no. it's like focusing on one of the chief engineers in the first season of Star Trek The Next Generation. Because they had about, I don't know, 5 of them. Wasn't until, what, season 3, I think, that they had a steady chief engineer in Geordi LaForge. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm kind of hoping that they do have a season 5. I personally think, I don't know about you, Pat, I think that it's enough that they could literally start to make spinoffs like they did with Star Trek. You know, to me, it's that rich of a universe.
They could.
Yeah. Definitely could. So, but, that was a good show.
Did you see the, Predators prequel?
Nah.
It was good. I liked it, man.
Great. Has anybody watched Sandman?
No.
I started, yeah. I saw the first 2 episodes.
Wait, the Predator sequel prequels in the movies, right? Movie theater,
no,
right?
No.
Oh, what's it on?
Hulu? Is it on?
Oh, is it? Is it a series?
No, it's a movie.
Oh. For some reason, I thought it was in the movie theater, and then when you said Hulu,
no,
I was like...
No, they never released it. No, it's straight to stream.
And so you watch it, it's good?
It's really good. I liked it a lot.
Oh, I want to watch it then. Yeah, I thought it was in the theater.
It was really done well.
And no, I haven't watched Sandman yet. I plan on watching that.
Well, I started Sandman. I haven't finished it yet. I'm most of the way through. I think I'm episode 7 of 10. And I switched over and started listening to the Audible version. And like... The Audible version is a little bit different. Okay, there are some heavy differences between that and the TV show on Netflix, but like mostly it's the DC references, like Gotham City, Dr. Destiny, and things like that.
That's the Predator one is Prey, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Right on the front page. of the Predator
versus Comanches.
The She-Hulk one actually looks pretty fun.
Oh, well, yeah, she's good. That's pretty soon, isn't it?
It's it is. From Orphan Black, and that was a great show.
Yeah,
and in that show, she played a chick that finds out she's a clone. So there's
she played 16 different versions of herself or something. That. Yeah, all right.
She's very good, that actress.
Now, when does She-Hulk start? I know it's this month. Okay. Is it next week or the week after?
I think so. One of the annoying things with Disney Plus is that I have to hit the fucking pin every time I go into it.
I don't have that issue.
August 18th.
That's because you probably watch things on it all the time.
So next week on Thursday.
Okay.
And it's weekly, which kind of sucks.
I Am Groot is new, right? Isn't I Am Groot new?
Yeah, is that out yet?
Looks like it.
Let me see.
Yep.
Or is it just first episode?
Hold on.
They're
hold
doing
on a
episodic.
Second.
First episode August released 10th. August 10th.
It's just a trailer.
First
okay.
three episodes, August 10th.
Well, there you go.
But they're 3-minute episodes.
Ew. Okay. Well, today's August 10th, by the way, so it's out.
Yeah, hold on. Actually, there's 5 episodes.
Yeah, I was going to say, also 4 and 5 were released August 10th.
August 10th, hey. And they're all 3 minutes each.
For 15 minutes of Groot.
Yay. Oh.
Doesn't make me want to rush out and watch it.
Yeah, same. I mean, I like Groot, but... Hey, the Lightyear movie's on Disney Plus already. I just have to laugh at that. I'm like, what would... I get what they were trying to do, but I think nobody believes them anymore. Without having Tim Allen playing Buzz. I know, technically, he's a different character. Okay, whatever. Yeah, I'm just not uber excited to watch it. Just like I'm not uber excited to watch Lower Decks. I think the first episode of that, the new season of that's out. And see, now it's just weird. Now, you know, when we were growing up, and heck, even most of our adult life, all the new stuff used to come out in the fall. That's just not the case anymore.
And sometimes spring.
Right. Well, yeah, sometimes spring wasn't always either until we got older, I think. But I think that happened probably, around the Simpsons time, I think. But
you also didn't have a gazillion different
streaming services.
Streaming services out there all trying to one up each other.
Yeah.
And blow away the fact that you don't need to do network television anymore, so therefore
truth.
Yeah.
Truth.
You're not competing for a time slot.
I was gonna say, other than sports, I can't remember the last time I watched anything live. Well, okay, I did watch, they brought out a series on, I think it was CBS that brought out a series called How We Roll, which was based on the life of PBA Pro Bowler Tom Smallwood. It didn't make it past one season, so. It's not coming back, but, and it was, kind of okay. I wouldn't exactly call it funny, but, you know, I think it's just partly the way they did it.
Why do you have to watch it, like, in a time slot? Don't, isn't it on demand?
You don't. That one would come on live, but you could, like, since I have Fubo and the DVR feature on that. I didn't have to, but then it would show up, I think, on Paramount Plus, I think, as well. Cause I think it's owned by them. I have to look. it just wasn't good.
Yeah, I was going to say, most of that stuff ends up on one of the streaming applications on demand at some point, right? It might not be immediate.
Right. Yeah, How We Roll. Yeah, it was CBS and it's on Paramount Plus. Probably the whole thing, but yeah, it's not coming back. I think it's just, I know, like, my son, as into bowling as he is, he did watch the first episode, but he was kind of done after that, because, like, in that, they had, all the bowlers were using black bowling balls, and, like, that hasn't happened in 40 years. I'm like, and everyone was wearing the rented bowling shoes. If you're a pro bowler, you don't wear rented bowling shoes. Heck, if you're a league bowler, and even some open bowlers don't wear the rented shoes. and that's what it is they I think they dumbed it down too much. It might have been better if it was not as completely technical as it could have been, but more like what modern bowling is, then they would have got the bowling crowd impossibly normal people, but they just...
Wait, hold on a second. Let's look at one thing here. I've never seen an episode of the show.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So my first question to you is, how do you know they were renting the shoes?
Because they had the numbers on the back of the shoes. So any, and they were the color, like, rented bowling shoes are usually multicolored, and they usually have a number on the back of the heel.
So, that's the only indication that they were renting shoes?
Bowling fans could tell that, not normal people.
Right? But no, okay.
What I'm getting at is, normal people, that's what bowling is.
Well, the reason why I ask is because I would think that if they were showing them renting the shoes, it would probably be something part of, like, was it a comedy?
Yeah, it was a comedy. Yeah.
Like, there was probably some comedic element involved with that.
Nah, there wasn't.
To maybe interact with the other people. But if you're saying...
This is just one of those details I noticed. All right. You know, at no time, other than maybe when the main character was practicing, all the rest of the bowlers that you would see on there were pros, which was really only, they only had one other character that was playing a pro,
Were the pros wearing rental shoes?
Yes, they were. And pros don't do that.
So, you know what I find, what I wonder about that though is, okay, so one of two things, right? First off, why was that chosen? Because if you weren't watching, weren't showing them renting the shoes, like why did they even bother
with
numbers? Unless Wardrobe just went out and got a bunch of, like, cheap bowling shoes.
That's exactly
from
what
a place that closed down or whatever.
Yeah.
And, that's where they got them from. Instead of going out and buying brand new bowling shoes for.
Yeah. Or even just, they literally could have just put sneakers on people and it would have been a little bit more believable if you had all followed pro bowling and all. But, it was. I think they just went the wrong direction with it. It should have been a comedy, no question, because, well, let's face it, bowling is like golf. It's like, they wear custom graphic jerseys and with their name on the back and, it's not what it was when, my dad was growing up, when the pro bowlers didn't look all that much different than league bowlers. But, like I said, there's a reason it failed. I think it's part of it. a little bit, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's the only reason it failed, because there's definitely more to it than that. The comedy was kind of meh, you know, it's, you know, it just didn't work, in my opinion. You know, it's, the script was pretty horrible, you know, among other reasons, other things. So it's just, there's a whole lot of reasons it failed. It's not like, like when, sci-fi, like, see, like, for example, if the Orville doesn't come back, there's still going to be fandom that's pissed off about it. Not the case with this.
Well, okay, so here's the thing, right? Like, what other, and let's just pick on sports, what other sports-themed sitcom?
That's a good question.
Made that work? Made a bit. Like,
right. Where the sport was featured, right?
Right.
Coach.
Ted Lasso.
Coach.
I was going to say good, Ted Lasso. Coach, you're right. Coach was football, right?
Yep.
So.
But they didn't show any football footage, though, other than what you might have saw in the coach's office. It was all a story about Coach, not so much about the football that he was coaching.
Yeah, that's true.
So. Now, from the drama standpoint, you got Friday Night Lights, which is actually being, I think they're bringing it back too, in a continuation or something. That was all about high school football. Texas high school football.
And I think, you know, when you're looking at football or non-American football, there's huge audiences there.
Right.
Bowling.
Not as much.
Not so much.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You're really going for a niche on a niche market there.
But they had a bowling
movie. One with Woody Harrelson and
Kingpin.
You mean the Big Lebowski? Well, he had the Kingpin and he had the Big Lebowski too.
Well, Big Lebowski wasn't, I would say that was, there was bowling in it. I wouldn't call it a bowling movie. Kingpin
was,
Kingpin, you know.
Grease 2 was a bowling movie.
Right, yeah.
Or Grease was a car racing movie.
Oh, right. Man, shit, speaking of Grease, man, Olivia Newton-John died this week, man.
I know.
And Michelle Nichols, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Michelle Nichols. Wait, she was last week, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, they have, NASA has put up billboards around town celebrating her life.
Well,
which is really cool.
That's because you do, Langley, I think, is where the Air Force or NASA place is.
There's a NASA.
I think.
In Hampton, yeah.
It's
right next to Langley Air Force Base.
Right. Correct. Yeah. On Michelle Nichols, I actually watched, my favorite scene that she was ever in was Star Trek III. When she had the Mr. Adventure and put him in the closet. That's when they were beaming up to steal the Enterprise. But. Although Star Trek V, the dancing scene on Nimbus 3 was pretty funny too.
Who's left? Who's left? William Shatner, right?
T'Kai, Shatner, and Koenig. And I think Koenig's not doing well either.
And he's the youngest one out of all of them.
He's the what? Oldest or youngest?
Youngest.
Heck, Shatner's in his 90s.
He just went to space.
On the Blue Origin.
So is he the oldest person to ever, you know, go to space and come back?
How old was John Glenn when he went up the last time?
He was either 78 or 81. I don't remember.
You know, we could look this up.
He may have the record.
Yeah, William Shatner, I guess, is the oldest person to reach the final frontier. 90.
Yep.
There we go.
Walter Koenig, though, he's still, I think he's still doing fan Star Trek now, ain't he?
Well, I don't know.
He was the most active outside of, like, the Star Trek stuff.
Right.
Besides Shatner. I mean, Shatner did a lot. He was a bunch of stuff.
Besker in Babylon 5, I think.
Yeah, and that was 30 years ago.
Right. Which, that's a series I'd love to watch at the end. But I don't think it's on any streaming service that I know of.
Which show? Babylon 5?
Yeah.
That's true. I haven't seen that anywhere.
Like, I've seen the first episode multiple times. Beyond that, I might have seen onesie twosie here and there, but it's like part of the problem is when it was out. You know, we're talking what, mid
95, 96.
Yeah, somewhere around there. I was working second shift. So it was always on when I was working, so I couldn't watch it. And back then, we didn't have things like DVRs.
They were on TNT for a while.
Yeah. It might be on Pluto, too. I haven't looked there.
Maybe.
And Walter Koenig is 85. Oh, here you go. So Shatner is 91, and Walter Koenig is 85, and so is George Takei.
Yeah, so they were the younger two.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember. I think Nurse Chapel's dead, too. Was played by
Majel Barrett. Well,
Majel Barrett, yeah.
Yeah, Roddenberry's wife.
Who was the other one? Oh, the one that was in the movies too. She was the comms officer for Sulu in Star Trek VI. On the Excelsior. And, Gorkin died too. My namesake. Who also played Sark.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah, now that we're TV'd to death.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yep.
You know what?
I'll tell you what.
Okay. My wife is going back to work in a couple of weeks.
Oh?
Yeah. She,
got a job working for
the man. No, she's gonna be subbing. They wanted her to take a full time position, but she has to finish her master's.
There you go.
Degree first. She wants to focus on that, and she doesn't feel like she's completely ready. So
she's teaching or?
Yeah, she's going back. She's getting her degree in TESOL, teaching English as a second language, which will open up, like, if we decide that we would like to, you know, do some traveling and live overseas for a bit or whatever, opportunities like that, she could go, there's like plenty of opportunities all over the world for that kind of degree. That kind of work experience and everything. But what I'm excited about is that there'll be more income finally, you know, back coming into the house, so I could get like a hard drive to replace the hard drive in this thing over here, so I can finally like get some progress in upgrading this. Like, I mean, I was like, man, what was it? What was that I saw? We were talking about this. I think it was last week. I was like, man, I would like to just try the latest open Mandriva. Just, you know, I mean, I remember Mandrake back in the day and I was like, it wasn't the distribution for me. But I wouldn't mind
back
checking
in your
it out.
Slackware days.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind checking it out again. It would be nice to be able to do that and like not have like such a small hard drive that I'm kind of like pigeonholed into fitting things onto, comparatively speaking. So
yeah, he wants
like,
to get him some terabytes now.
Well, I don't even need terabytes. I mean, it'd be nice. I mean, even like, you know, like a 300-400 gig drive would be better than what I have in this right now. This is like under, I think it's like only 100 gig. And most of is my home directory. Right. I did 20 gigs for my root partition and then like 80 gigs for my home directory. And I'm filling it up with show files, which I have to transfer up to, Internet Archive. And I'm like, you know, it doesn't leave much for playing around because most distributions these days, you know, a desktop distribution after you get like the base install is really, you know, you're kind of small, but if you want to throw, an office suite on there and a bunch of the other type of applications, you're going to fill that up pretty fast. Like 20 gigs is not, I mean, you could pare it down, but I know that whenever I try to upgrade this Fedora laptop, I have to be really careful and start ripping things out of there, you know, because there's just not enough space. The flat packs, everybody praises flat packs and SnapD and all that stuff, but that does consume a significant amount of hard drive space on top of your base system. Because it a lot of times there might be some replication. Now they've worked pretty hard on trying to reduce that, but you know, if it's I think, correct me if I'm wrong, like if you want a GNOME based application, you have to have the GNOME based system that's included with there. They've done a great job of trying to extrapolate that out, but I mean, if you have GNOME on your system and then you want to use a Flatpak that has GNOME base in there, there's a little bit of duplication. So for people who are running light on their hard drive space, it's not always the best solutions in there. Sometimes it is, but you know, that's just been my experience. If I want to upgrade it, I have to remove the Open Office from here, and other things to give it enough space, which again, did I really need to have an 80 gig home partition? No, but I figured at the time when I built this thing, most of my stuff was going to be the data I collect as opposed to the applications I want to run. Here we go.
That's why I'm not a fan of either AppImage or Flatpaks, to be honest. I mean, I get it, from the terms of stability and making sure that your app has everything it needs in one nice package. It's great, you know, but it does use up extra space.
And so if, you know, if you have a modern system, chances are you have a good amount of space. I am an outlier in that regard.
Damn, just buy a terabyte and be done with it.
Like I said, when my wife gets, you know, is back to work and you know, I gotta get these kids out of here, man. My money's just going right out the, like, oh gosh, Joel, I'm becoming an old man now. I went to the eye doctor 2 days ago.
Bifocals?
And I was like, I said, you know, I have to bite the bullet, man. I have to bite the bullet.
Yep.
I have to face the facts.
Progressives.
That if I'm not going to use readers, I'm going to have to get like either bifocals or progressive lenses. So,
or you can do one eye close in, one eye far out.
Yeah, so here's the thing, right? Anyway, what I was kind of getting at is like, I don't know. I feel like going to the eye doctor and the dentist is like going to the vet. It's like how, like when I look at the vet and take it, like usually when I go to the vet, it's because one of my pets is having a problem. And I'm like, what is the minimum? Like in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, how much is it going to cost me? Like, what is the minimum I can get away with here? Without having to put the animal to sleep or whatever it is. Like, I don't want to do it. Like when I go to the doctor, it's like I go in there, they're like, okay, here's this, that, you know, change this or whatever, and you're out of there. When you go to the dentist or the eye doctor, they're like, yeah, we could clean your teeth, but we could also put on this extra fluoride treatment that's gonna, you know, and it's just this tack stuff on there for the bill. With the eye, right. With the eye doctor, it's like, okay, here's your glasses, you know, how much is insurance gonna pay? We could throw this coating on there and that coating and this special lens and, you know, thing you know, what was like, here's the free lens, you know, free frames, just put the lens, you know, you buy the frames, you get the lenses for free. And it's like, the frame's like $60. How much insurance costs that? You know, next thing you know, this and that and this and that. You can upgrade this, put that in there. And it's like, it takes like a $10 thing all the way up to $150. You know? It's like, how did that happen?
Mine were four.
$400?
I think so. After I have to insurance? Go back and look. No, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I got photograce too, so I don't have to deal with sunglasses.
I hate the photograce stuff.
I don't mind it.
No, they were like, I didn't get the photograce. I'm getting the progressive. I was like, you know, I would have been fine with bifocal, but they talked me into progressive. My wife was like, you should get the progressive. I don't know if you had the same thing. Like when I went there and they have this little chart with, they show you like this picture of what it's like with bifocals, mm-hmm. and then with like one level progressive and then two and then three. And I'm like, I don't fucking understand what I'm looking at here. Because it's like, it's got this thing on the sides and I'm like, I don't get what I'm looking at here. I felt old. I felt really old and out of touch with what I was looking at. Or maybe not old enough to understand it. But I'm going to try the progressives. Now, with the contact lenses, I told them the problem I have is, like, I like my contact lenses. I wear my contact lenses primarily because, you know, I work out almost every day. And I don't work out in glasses because I just don't like it. So I just leave my contact lenses in. But it's difficult to read things, right? Because my eyes are getting to that point, you know. And so, yeah, you're right. The option, there's basically three options. They're like, you know, you could wear just, you know, distance and then have to use readers. Or you could use the progressive lenses. Or you could use you know, one near and one far in
right.
alternate eyes. So I was kind of skeptical about the different prescription in each eye because it mm-hmm. seems like a recipe for a headache for me. It just seems weird.
Right.
It's like, I know what it feels like if I'm wearing a pair of glasses and one of the lenses pops out and I see it, like, it's like a weird experience. I guess you get used to it. So they're like, well, you could give it a trial. They said the downside with wearing the progressive lenses is that, you know, it's not like you're getting the best of both worlds. One of them's going to be sacrificed, right? One of them is just not going to be
right.
the best. It's either going to be, you're not going to have perfect clarity on far or you're not going to have perfect clarity on near. So they gave me a trial. They were supposed to give me a trial of, you know, doing the different lenses in each eye.
Right.
And the progressive. So I got the progressive, but then when I looked at the lenses that they gave me for each eye, they gave me, a total of three sets of contact lenses.
Right.
One progressive, one for far, and one was supposed to be for near, but I looked at the prescription on the near one, and it's the same as the prescription on the far one, so I think they messed up and gave me they accidentally gave me two of the far one. Three of them say they have the same prescription, negative 2.50 on them. And so I tried the progressive ones, and oh my God, the progressive ones perfect for reading. Like, I could read shit like I couldn't before with my contact lenses. And it's like almost as good as I can read it without any corrective lenses on. Like, I could read good if I don't have my glasses or my contacts in. But my far vision is a little blurry. It's like 75%. Now, my question is, and my glasses have the same point, -2.50. My question is, are these progressive lenses, when they say something sacrifices, is that being sacrificed, or is my prescription not strong enough?
Right.
I don't know. I guess I'll find out.
See, the other thing too is that there's at least on the glasses, there's also, like, I think mine are not progressive. They're no line bifocal, which I don't mind. That's fine. They're fine. Now, what I have also done, and this is something you might want to ask your eye doctor about, especially since the second pair is actually not going to be super expensive, but I have a pair that's tuned for how far my screens are away from my eyeballs, as in my work screens. Okay, so technically they're called computer glasses. They put like an anti-blue light coating on them to help keep the blue light down in your eyes, so your eyes don't feel as tired at the end of the day. My bad thing is I don't wear them, I'd say most days, because I'm not necessarily doing a lot of heads down in the code and stuff. I'm in more meetings than I am actually sitting there doing actual work nowadays. Perils of being a lead. You know, like today's end of day meeting was a fiasco, one where the client's trying to make things more complex than they really are. For me, I just wear my bifocals probably, I'd say 90% of the time. I have the photo grays, not for everyone. I like the grays. I did, for one trial of glasses, like 1 year of glasses, I went, the other alternative to photo grays is they have the same thing but brown instead, and I hated those. You know, instead of turning gray in the sunlight, they turn like a darker brown. Not my favorite. The only thing that I don't like about photo grays is they don't get dark enough in the sun. I would love it if they were like 2 or 3 levels darker. And unfortunately, they don't go much darker. So, I'm fine with glasses. Even when I do go to the gym, which, yeah, I need to get back at it. but I don't mind wearing glasses when I work out. But I get why others might not like it. Just like why some don't like wearing headphones when they're running or something. But. Yeah, I think you'll get used to it. I wonder if you have another option though, Dan, is that to fix your main, contacts for far and then add a pair of glasses on top of that, like not cheaters, but real glasses that would hopefully get you to see in closer when you're like reading and stuff. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are a bunch of options. I mean, ideally, right. I mean, ideally, if like, I don't know. I thought I'm going to hopefully try out the two different lenses. I got to get that worked out with them and make sure I have the right thing. I would definitely try that out to see how it is. Right. I don't mind these progressive ones. I don't know if it's like I said, if it's the, they say something's going to be sacrificed, and this right. pair, it's not the reading. It's not the up close that's sacrificed. It's the distance. I don't know if that's right. something that could be tweaked if it's just a little stronger, that I would have that parity yeah. there. That would be great. Cause if I could keep the clarity of the up closeness that I have now with these, but just increase the strength of the distance a little mm-hmm. more, and it wouldn't sacrifice that. That would be That would be aces right there. That right. That would be perfect. We'll see. I'm interested to see what the progressive lenses are like.
Right. I think one thing too, that I notice, at least as I'm getting older, is like, even with my glasses on, I still have problems reading certain things, mainly, the writing on the side of a medicine bottle, you know, like a.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. And what I have to do in those is.
The gray text on the orange label.
Or something like the contrast. Yeah, that's part of it. So usually what I have to do on those, I have to shine a light on it so I can read it. Yeah, and once I put light, you know, increase the amount of, you know, contrast, essentially, when you put the light on it, it seems to be easier to read for me. But like, you know, I'm like, we're trying to read this, the micro writing on the side of, well, the thing, actually, that's one thing that kind of ticks me off with a lot of, especially, I'll grab some microwavable stuff just because it's quick. You know, I can microwave it and I can have more of my lunch to just sit there and not stare at a screen, you know? And sometimes the writing on some of that stuff, it'll be like a dark brown, black text on dark brown. It's like, yeah. Contrast, folks, people need that. That's why Borland made Turbo Pascal Turbo C with the blue background and yellow text.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is I had bought some beard oil a couple weeks ago, and it was a little, little
hard to read, wasn't it?
Two or 3 ounce bottles with a stopper on them, and it was like a black label, and one was like silver on gray, another one was like silver on orange, and it was like, and the text was really small, and every time I would look at this and pull it out and see, you know, what it was, I always had my contacts in, and I couldn't read jack shit on these things. So like, I had no idea which one was which. I couldn't read them. And so I just grabbed one out of there because I just finished up on my other beard oil, and I was using it, and I'm like, I don't know what this smell is. It's not bad, but I don't know what it is because I can't read the label. but I put these contacts in, and sure enough, I pull it up and I look at it. I'm like, I could read the label perfectly now. I think it's the lavender one. I'm not sure. Was it? Yeah, I forget. I was like, come on, man. I could actually read this. Like, I was excited, and the contrast was not a problem. The size of the text was not a problem. Yeah, getting old sucks.
Yep.
Do not recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Unsubscribe.
We gotta wrap this up.
Yeah, we do.
I can get my sleep in so I can get up and work out tomorrow and not be knackered.
I worked out pretty hard yesterday. I don't know. I might do a bike ride here in a little bit.
How's the humidity there? The heat and humidity.
Sucks ass. Actually, it might be too wet for me to do a bike ride, so I'll have to find something else to do.
Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, there's another good one. On Thursday, I was like, damn, it's getting hot in here.
So you took off all your clothes?
Almost. Well, yeah. I mean, that ended up being what I had to do. But so my across the street neighbor's daughters came down with COVID, and they happened to be over the day before, and then
Sunday,
Helena came home with COVID. So COVID's been in and out of this house. I haven't gotten it yet again, and my wife hasn't gotten it. So knock on wood, we got another couple of days, and probably we'll see what happens. We're trying to be careful. But anyway, Thursday, come to find out, the air conditioner died. And so the temperature, like, by the time we figured that out, was already, like, hot and humid, 80 degrees in the house, and it was rising. And this was at night, and I called them, and it came in on Friday. And it something burned out on it, so we had to replace that. And it was like blowing cold air a little bit better. But about 2 hours later, 3 hours later, my wife's like, I don't feel it getting any colder. And it's still 80 degrees in the house. And sure enough, we had to call him back. And he's like, oh, there's too much Freon in the air conditioner. We got to drain some of the Freon out of here. And then it started raining, so they couldn't do any work on it.
Yeah.
Because it's outdoors. So he, like, brought in portable air conditioning units. And this was, like, Friday evening. So it's like, we weren't going to have it over. So we had to use the portable air conditioning stuff over the weekend. That really, boy, the whole basement just turned into this like humidity slick down here. It's just,
yep.
The floor was coated with like a layer of moisture and I would come down here. It didn't get fixed till, like Monday, late Monday morning, but I worked out on Friday and then on Monday morning I worked out. It was just like this. Just like everything was just humid and funky down here. So there we go. Fun stuff.
Here's a funny Facebook group for you there, Dan. If you want some funny, I found one called LOL Caesars.
On Facebook?
Yes. So basically, it's people making up graphics of possible Little Caesar products.
Oh my goodness.
Like, the one I'm looking at now says the hot and ready $5 pizza glitzy, only for throat goats. And it's basically a pizza wrapped around a hot dog.
There we go.
are you a throat goat? No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Or
dill dog.
Yeah, right.
Did you have that waffle dog or whatever it was? The waffle
pickle? No, I didn't. All I had at the fair was I had a gyro because I like gyros and because they're delicious. Had deep fried cheese. Swiss cheese, actually. Done up, it was Swiss cheese and up like a corn dog. Something to drink, and that's about it. I didn't have a lot of food. And fair's over for now. It only runs for like a couple weeks. But,
No dill dog for you, no waffle dog, no waffle pickle for you this year. We gotta play the promos, Joe. Finish it up.
Yes, we do. But Pumpkin Show is in a few weeks, so when you really think about it, you know, it's in October. So
they can wrap a pickle in a pumpkin then.
I don't know if they do that, but you know, hey. So
all right. Let's see y'all next week. Yeah, we're gonna play this out. Stay cool, Joe.
Absolutely.
Here's your promos.
I am short.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called Libre Quest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi. Mm.
I think it's a public group too. If you click on those two links I put in the mumble chat, you'll see some of the images are pretty
funny.
Yeah,
the first one popped right up.
Right. Oh, it's cracking.
Only
me
for
up.
Throat goats. Oh man.
Yeah, it's inappropriate, but I don't care.
What? Suck it down in one bite. Actually, it looks pretty good. I would try that.
Yeah, I would probably try it too. Just like I ate the, you know, if it actually was real. It's not, but.
Hey, Morton C., why go to the listening booth? The show's over. You might as well come up and talk.
Right?
I gotta stop the recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Joel. My ass squirts water. That's what it did.
Wait. You had, wait. It wasn't
hold
your
on,
phone.
Was,
oh, it was on
Monday. Was, yeah.
Yummy, yummy.
Jello and beef broth. Ugh.
But
Monday, other than them having a bitch of a time trying to find a vein in me, it went okay. You know, I get in the room, I see the camera and the display and all that, put the thing on my face, and they say, take 3D breaths, and on the fourth one, I was out, and then all of a sudden, I'm waking up down the, as I'm going down the hall.
Yeah, isn't that the way it went, though? It's like, you're like, mm-hmm. 1 minute you're there, and the next minute you're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, it's just, where did
you look at the clock and you figure out you've been in there for 45 minutes.
Yeah, it was something. That's what got me, too. I mean, it's like, I said I was going to fight that. I'm going to see if I can fight it, and then the next thing I know, I'm waking up, and they're like, it's time to go.
And boy, did I feel loopy and weird trying to get in the car, as Misty was picked the Miss, you know, they, I don't know about you, but with mine, they made me take someone, like an adult, to drive me home. They didn't want me driving.
Yeah. That's what they said, is we will not let you... We will not do the procedure unless mm-hmm. you have somebody to take you home, because you can't drive for like 24 hours.
Right. Yeah, I was going to go back to work, but my wife didn't let me. She said, the doctor said, I'm like, okay, give me my phone. I'll send a message.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad I did, though, because... That was a good excuse to just sit on the couch watching movies.
Yeah, I wasn't that bad. I could have gone back to work, I guess, if I wanted to, but I was like,
me too.
You know what? There's no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by about 2 or 3, because it was at 10:15. So about 2 or 3, I was pretty much 100%. For the most part, you know, except for, I noticed that, it took me a while for things to start functioning again down there. You know, cause it was all jacked up with all the colonoscopy prep. You know, it was Miralax and Gatorade was the stuff I had to drink. And then they had me take Dulcolax tablets too. Like 4 of those, two at the beginning and 2 at the end. But Sunday night, it just felt like when you get a sickness that's going around and you get squirts, or like if you maybe had food poisoning or something,
mm-hmm.
And that's how my stomach felt. It was just like, well, you know, it's just like, and every time I go to the bathroom, I'm like, please stop. But by the morning, I had one little thing in the morning, and that was it, and it was pretty much just nothing, you know.
Yeah, I had. Yeah. What color Gatorade? Did you mix it with the green Gatorade?
I actually found it was a Gatorade Zero Glacier Cherry, so it was okay. Kind of a whitish color. So it's like that. I figured that was okay because I bought that and I bought some grape, and then I read online it says that you shouldn't drink purple stuff either. But
right,
I kind of don't like Gatorade that much either. To be real, I don't buy it usually.
And the Miralax didn't help, did it?
Certainly not.
It made it like just like a thick Gatorade.
Yeah, it wasn't. Mine wasn't gritty or anything. I couldn't find, like, they were saying to get the, like, the 238 gram bottle, and you pour that in the you basically pour off a glass of a 64 ounce bottle of Gatorade. Well, I couldn't find any 64 ounce bottles. I was able to find two that got me close, so I just poured those two together into a separate container and shook it up. But I'm always like, well, why don't you get the big one? I'll use the rest, because every once in a while, she's on a med that every once in a while gives her constipation. So she'll drink not what we drink for that to take care of that. You know, she'll drink like a dose of it, not like 14 doses of it, which that's about what that is if you think about it, if you read the side of the bottle. But drink that in. Every 15 minutes, drink 8 ounces. A couple hours, you're done. then an hour or so after that, take the last two, and then Mount Vesuvius erupts. I'm like, you might want to stay out of that bathroom for a while, hon.
So when you went in for your procedure, how long did you have to wait in the waiting room?
Not that long, really. I mean, they had me show up at like 9 o'clock in, so that we had an hour and 15 minutes to get it in. So I was in there and it really didn't take that long. They came out and they called me back by myself once I, you know, got ready myself, just basically undressing and stuff, putting the stupid gown on with the no back on it, mm-hmm. You know? Then they had me
show up an hour early. And
yeah, about the same. Yeah,
and then like I had to visit the bathroom twice while I was there.
I was done by that time.
I was like still shooting it out. But what was it? So what time were you? Did you go in? Was your appointment for in the morning?
9 o'clock. My 9 o'clock is when I had to be there, and the procedure was scheduled at 10:15.
Oh, okay. Because I had to be there at 7 for a little like 7:30 or something, like between 7 and 7:30. And so I had just like I finished that prep at like, what was it? 2 hours. So like 5 o'clock in the morning was when I finished. And then, I was pretty much the last bit of it was just sitting there waiting. And then I'm like, time to go.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta hit that bathroom.
They took 3 polyps. I haven't gotten any results back or anything yet, but.
I'll tell you what kind of floored me is like, after like a week went by, 2 weeks went by and I didn't hear anything from them, I was like, well, if they would have found something, they would have called me. Right.
Right.
And then like, I think it was like a week and a half ago. So this was almost like a month and a half, 2 months later, they called me. And they're like, hey, Mr. Washko, we're calling you about your colonoscopy. And I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh shit. Like, this seems like a long time. And they're like, yeah, everything came back fine. You're good. We'll see you in 5 years. And I was like, okay, that's great. And then there was a long pause. And then I'm like, is that it? Cause I'm like, am I supposed to make an appointment for 5 years from now or what's the deal? She's like, yeah, that's it. Everything's good. And I was like, okay, thanks. Bye. Like the moment I saw that, I'm like, oh shit, this is.
I'm on the 3 year trip. I got to do it again in 3. I'm like, I don't know why other than the fact that, yeah, I am heavy, but you know.
Maybe they had a fun time. Like, bring this guy back.
The nurse even had to go get, you know, they poked me like at least 3 times before they finally found the vein on the 4th try.
Oh yeah.
It was in my wrist. They even had to get that. They had the, I didn't even know they had it. I knew they were working on something, but they had brought out one of those machines where they can help find your veins. I didn't even know they actually had them. I thought they were still in development, but.
Interesting. What's it look like?
It actually kind of looks a little bit like those infrared thermometers you point at your forehead.
Okay.
But it's actually got like a little LCD on it. And I don't know if it was like, it would show you like an exact picture of it, or if it would just be like a stud finder and say, yep, there it is. You know? But I historically have problems with them finding veins. Like whenever I go in to get the annual bloodletting, that's always fun. But my doctor doesn't make me do a fasting on that anymore. He just says, just come in. Like I was in for just a normal checkup. He's like, you want to do your blood work and all that? And I'm like, haven't fasted. And he's like, that's okay. I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah, I lucked out with them when the person that was kind of ahead of me, they couldn't find their vein. And then she came in and she's like, well, if I could get it in there, you'll go on it. You know, we'll be able to beat him in. So she did. She found that vein right in, wheeled me right in. They're like, breathe this. I'm like, okay. And then I woke up and I was ready to go home.
Mm-hmm. I was a little late, but that's okay. I don't mind it.
Oh, I guess
what's happening?
Hey, what's up, man? I saw you popping in and out, so I was just waiting.
Having audio issues. I got it.
All right. It's good you got it all cleared up.
There you go.
So this is ready to go.
I even got an application to talk about. Yay!
966. Got a couple of things to talk about. So let's fire it away, Jolie, with a counter round.